Just to review again, we started the Mishnah Yud Dalet Omer Aleph Hashechet B'Shabbos of Yom HaKippurim Afal Pishim Mischai B'Namshe Shchita Osek Sher. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav that he thinks Asur B'Achila L'Yoyma True Shchita Osek Sher, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to eat it. Why? So the Gemara, how did they figure that out? Because it's Dumiyad Yom HaKippurim. On Yom HaKippurim you're not allowed to eat it because it's Yom Kippur. And it doesn't make a difference on Yom Kippur whether he shechs b'shogeg or mezid. Yom Kippur, everything is also b'achilo. So Shabbos also, the Gemara assumes on Tezvav and Aleph, does make a difference whether he shechs b'shogeg or mezid. You're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says why? So trying to guess within Rav. So the Talmidim Chavrai Menasen Chavrai LeMeimer, the Talmidim and the Yeshiva thought, they said that Rav's statement is only Alibi the Reb Yudah. So the Gemara says, hey Reb Yudah, where is there a Mishnah or a brisa anywhere that quotes Reb Yudah saying something that indicates that this should be awesome? So the Gemara gave three suggestions that is the famous Reb Yudah who disagrees with Reb Shimon regarding Muktzeh, and each Amora pinned it on to a different Reb Yudah. And the Gemara was not, the Gemara didn't think that it was conclusive. Then the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion, no, it's the Reb Yudah who disagrees with Reb Meir regarding Hamavashal B'Shabbos. Not Reb Yudah who disagrees with Reb Shimon regarding Muktzeh. So the first one they call Reb Yudah de Hachana, Reb Yudah by Muktzeh. The whole din of Muktzeh and Muchan are opposites. Veichinu is Sheyaviu is this remez for the din of Muktzeh. Rashi writes that the whole din of Muktzeh is only with the Rabbanon. There was such a Rashi, no? Mukta Asura Bidir Rabbanan, yeah. Mukta Asura Bidir Rabbanan. This is in contradiction to Rashi in other places, but Rashi in Erevin and Rashi in Beitza, Rashi says that according to Rabbah, on the first daf in Beitza, the Gemara is trying to figure out why is Beitza Shinold the Bishabbos Asura Bachilo? Beitza Shinold beyond, why is it also? So the Gemara gives four suggestions. So Rabbah says that if it's a Shabbos next to Yontif, Yontav Samach L'Shabbos, Shabbos Samach L'Yontav, so the Beitzah Shenolda on the second day will be Osa B'Achilam and Atara because it had an improper Hachona. Kol Beitzah the Mesialda Huidna Miesma Gomer Lo. The hens lay eggs every other day. And the day before the hen lays the egg, inside the kishkis of the hen's body, the egg is developing. So that's B'day Shamayim. Nobody did anything wrong. The Rabbanu Shalom set up a system that the hens develop eggs. So that's still, even though it's Hachana B'day Shamayim, it's had an improper Hachana because the Pasuk says, V'chim Reisa She'avir, Chol Mechon L'Shabbos, Chol Mechon L'Yontav. The Gemara assumes that the Mon didn't fall down, not on Shabbos, not on Yontav. That's the assumption that the Gemara has there. If the Mon didn't fall down, so how come we don't have Shalashudis on Yontav? Shalashudis and Zechal Amon. Is that good to Kasha? We have Lecha Mishnah on Yontif, that's a steer. How come Lecha Mishnah is Zechel Amon and Shalashudis is Zechel Amon? Because it says three times, Echlu Hayom, Kishabbos Hayom, Lashem Hayom, Lensimtzuhu Basodah. So it says three times Hayom. So the Gemara says the three times Hayom are a remiz to the Shalashudis. Most assume Shalashudis is only the Rabbonin, it's not their rice. So it's only a remiz. Some Hashem hold Shalashudis is their rice. So that's a problem if the Gemara assumes the first Dafin Beit, so the Gemara assumes that the Mon did not fall down neither on Shabbos nor on Yontav. How come they were never misakon Shalashudis on Yontav? So it's Akasha. But that's the premise of the Gemara. The Mon didn't fall down, not on Shabbos, not on Yontav. So when the Pasuk says, V'hoya b'yam ha-shishi v'chinu eso she'aviru, they should cook everything, they should prepare everything on Erev Shabbos, is not only Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontav also. They should prepare everything on Erev Yontav. So the Gemara Rabba makes this drasha, Chol mechen le-Shabbos v'chol mechen le-Yontav, Bein Shabbos mechina liyantav, bein yantav mechon leShabbos. So Rabba comes up with this chiddush that if you would have 2 days in a row, Shabbos next to yantav, and the beitzah shenolda on the second day, that'll be also b'achilah min haTorah. And many rishonim pasuk like Rabba, and the Gemara seems to say hachana de Rabba is a din d'oraisa. The Mishnah that makes a flat statement, beitzah shenolda b'yantav, beitzah shenolda b'Shabbos, even if it's not Shabbos next to yantav, that part is only mid the Rabbanan. But the Iker Din is rooted in a Din Deraisa, that if you have Shabbos Yontav next to each other, the Beitzah Shenolda on the second day will be Osam and Atar. So Rashi writes that according to Rabbah, and many Rishonim pass like Rabbah, according to Rabbah, Muktzah is Deraisa. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos in Erevin disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos in Beitza also disagrees with Rashi. But the printer left out the Tosfos. In order that everything should fit on the page, he left out. So the Rashbah quotes, Rashbon Beitza quotes the Tosfos in Beitza and in Erevin. Tosfos always disagrees with Rashi. Here Rashi writes like the other Rishonim, that Muktzah is only the Rabbanan. Muktzah the Tiltal, that's Beferish, is only with the Rabbanan. To handle Muktzah, to carry Muktzah, it's my Bana Yochid, that you're not allowed to carry, that's Xer Shem Yotzi, lest you'll carry it out of the house, that's Beferish Gemara, that's only with the Rabbanan. But the Shaila here is Muktzah Lachila, where the Muktzah Lachila is there, I say. So Rashi writes over here, that's what we don't understand, what is he needed for? First of all, it contradicts what he writes in the other Masichtas, in Erev and Beitz. And secondly, it doesn't enhance the understanding of our sugya. Rashi doesn't usually, Rashi rarely gives you information that's not necessary for the Hemshech HaSugya. So what does he put it in? That's what we saw, the Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank pointed it out, and he tried to give a suggestion. Anyway, so what was the first... The first three pshatim in the Gemara are that when the Chavraya, when the Talmidim thought that Rav's pshat in our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to eat the Shechet b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to surah l'yoyma, just like on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat it today, because Yom Kippur, Shabbos also you're not allowed to eat it. It's only Ali but Rabbi Yudah, and Rabbi Yudah Shita and Muktzah in disagreement with Rabbi Shimon. Which Rabbi Yudah applies over here? So the Gemara says, Amar Abab Rabbi Yudah d'Hachona. Hachona is... Achana means that it's not muktzah. Rabbi Yudah Shita b'Achana, what do you see? The Mishnah Beitza has a machlokes hatanaim. What if a behemish and a snab lo b'Shabbos? So the Tanakhama says, so it's Michael behema. A Jewish person can eat it. It's a nevel. Mustama Nochri wouldn't want to eat it either. Nochri eat nevelis, but not mesa me'leho. They're not interested in eating a diseased animal that dropped dead by itself. They'll eat an animal that was killed by people, shaloik alpi hilcha shchita, but they probably won't eat an avela. So it's oimel lachilas behema. So the Mishnah says, a behema shen esnal of a Shabbos is Michael behema. Michael behema is not muktzah. Not only Michael Odom is not muktzah, Michael behema, as we pointed out, is not mekabel tumah. The four things, all the dinam of muktzah are patterned after the dinam of kabbalas tumah. That's how the Gemara says in Perikol HaKelim. Odom, Mekelim, Ochel, and Mashkim are the four categories of things that are Mekabel Tumah. So those are the four basic categories of things that are not Muktzah, and anything else that's not Mekabel Tumah is a piece of junk, so therefore you don't really need it. So they made Gzera, you're not allowed to handle it at all. They didn't want to make Gzera on Odom, Mekelim, Ochel, and Mashkim. They'll make life impossible. They'll be Gzera, Shein, Rebatzi, Bichadim, Lamedba. But anything that's Eitzim, Avon, the offer, it's not one of these four things. It doesn't really have any Heshtamshas. So they said, don't handle it at all on Shabbos, Gzeira Shemer Yotzi. So strictly speaking, we should have said that Michael Behema should be Muktzah. So the Gemara said, Beferish not so. Whatever is Michael Behema is not Muktzah. So the Tanakhama says, M'chatchen es hanevela, lefnei haklofim, you're permitted to cut it up, and it's not Muktzah. And Rabbi Yudah says it depends. If nisnabla mibod yom, if the animal died on Erev Shabbos, and when it came Bein HaShmashis, it was Michael Behema, it's fine. So Michael Behema is not Muktzah. But lohes hanevela mibod yom, if nisnab lo bishabes, then it's muktzah l'fisheina min amuchan. So you see that Rabbi Yudah holds that a live animal is muktzah. A live animal is not mekabel tumah because it does not have a shem oichel. Only has a shem oichel after it's dead already. If it's geshochten, so it's machal adam. And if they shot it, so it's if they killed it in a slaughtering house for the non-Jewish consumers. So then it's also Michael Odom. And if it died a natural death, then it's going to be Michael Behemah. But the animal, while it's alive, is Muktzah. That's how the Gemara thought. The animal, while it's alive, is Muktzah. So then you say, Migadus Katsoy. So just like Rabbi Yudah says over there, Nisnabla B'Shabbos is going to be Muktzah. Something so too over here. A live animal is going to be Muktzah. So Abaye Tainis, that is not correct. Rabbi Yudah didn't mean to say a live animal is Muktzah. No. A live animal is oimed l'achilas adam. You're going to shecht it. So if someone shechted it on Shabbos, it's good. It was Michael Adam on Erev Shabbos. Sure, a live animal is not mekabel tumah until you shecht it, but it still has the shem oichel, because it's oimed l'achilas adam. Are you not allowed to shecht it? So what? It still has a shem oichel while it's alive. But if a live animal, which is oimed l'achilas adam, dies, nisnabla, and then now you're going to feed it to the behemah, so that's Michael Adam, shenishtan alias Michael behemah, that's noilad. So that's where Rabbi Yudah says that it's muktzah. Not the pshat in the Mishnah and Beitza is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that live animals are muksa because live animals are not makabel tumah, doesn't have a shem oichel. And it got to shem oichel in the middle of Shabbos, middle of Yontel, so therefore it's muksa. No, live animal has a shem oichel adam, but if it's nisnabla, then it's oichel adam shenishtan alias oichel behema, that's noila. That's where Rabbi Yehuda disagrees over there.
Why do you say live animals have a din oichel? Why
don't
you say
rukum aradim? I don't know. That's a good question. The Gemara says it's aimed lemalocha. The Gemara says it's aimed legadel and it's aimed lachila. Both, if you want to eat it in the middle of Shabbos, then the Gemara says it's a gloy muslim afreya. The Gemara tries to say it's aimed for a few different things. The Gemara suggests like that. Maybe you should say it's aimed for a few different things. Then the Gemara slugs that up because Rabbi Yehuda can't hold like that. So Rabbi Yehuda has to hold not because Rabbi Yehuda holds aim brayer. Even by dinim derabbanim, because Truman is only derabbanim. Rabbi Akiva is the one who holds Truman alpai mam is derai. So all the other Tanaim hold that Truman alpai mam is only derabbanim. Rabbi Yehuda holds aim brayer even by din derabbanim. So the Gemara says it must be according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's not that it's aimed lemalocha and it's also aimed alachile. All live animals have a shem oichel. I don't know. Why should you say like that? I don't know. That's how the Gemara seems to say. Unless this is a behemoth that I always use for plowing the fields, then it's taken out and not a midlachila. Then it will not have a shem oichel. But if it's a cow and you don't know what it's aimed for, it's, let's say it's a dairy cow, and for the last few years he milks the cow. So it's beferish not a midlashchita. Or it's this is the animal that he uses to plow the field. So then it's also not a midlachila, it's a midlachila. Means you have a behemoth stam. So if it's stam, so you don't say that it's aimed for both, and it'll be huver adov l'mafreya. You say if it's a stam behemoth, you don't know what it's aimed for, you assume it's automatically aimed lachim. Stam, you have to say like that. So Abaye rejected that. He says that's a bad, not a good sush delta ar mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda never meant to say over there in Beitza that a live animal is muktze. You don't see that. Rabbi Yehuda said that it's Michael Lord and Shinishtan Elias, Michael behemoth. So then the Gemara still thinks that it must be Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon and Muktze. Olam Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda the Kelim he. Rabbi Yehuda the same. Rabbi Yehuda says by Kli Shenishba Behemtza HaShabbos or Behemtza Yontif. So if originally it was a chair for adults and now it's broken, it's only a chair for little children, then it's Oisimei Malacha HaRishayno. So it has retains the same shame Kli. And all of Tanoim would agree that it's not Muktze. Well, let's say I had a pitcher, or I had a plate, and it's smashed in the middle of Shabbos, and now the pitcher can hardly hold any water. It can hold half the amount of water. And the plate now is broken, but it can still serve as a plate, but it can only hold very little food. So then it's the same kli. But if the kli smashed in such a way that originally it was a container, now it can only serve as a lid for a kli, then it's kli, eishen ishtan aliyas kli bi. That's the same as Michael Adam Shenishtan Elias Michael Behemoth. That's the same Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Machloik is by Noila Chaino Gomer. That's what we explained. That expression, Noila Chaino Gomer, was coined by the Rishonim and the Poskim and Shulchan Aruch. Because if it would be Noila Gomer, then Tosis develops the theme based on the Gemara and Erev and based on the Gemara and Beitza that Noila Gomer, all the Tanoim agreed that it would be Muktze. So we're talking about Noila Chaino Gomer. Kli A Shenishtan Elias Kli B by the Shivrei Kelim and the Michael A Shenishtan Elias Michael B. So that's the way we understood it. That's how Abaye understood the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda by Kalim, Rabbi Yehuda the Kalim. But Elam Rabbi Yosef is attempting to figure out what the Amoraim in the earlier generation meant when they said that Rabbi Yehuda said you're not allowed to eat teflesh bosayom. Rav said that according to Rabbi Yehuda you're not allowed to eat teflesh bosayom. So they thought it's Rabbi Yehuda by Muktzeh. So Rabbi Yosef thought that it must be rebuted by Kalim. What did it have to do with rebuted by Kalim? It's unclear exactly what did he think. How did he understand? Maskif le'Abai. Abai disagrees with his Rebbe. Abai was a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef. So Abai disagrees with Rabbi Yosef, and he says, no, that's based on Noila Chena Gomor. Kli Yeshen Ishtan Elias Kli B. That's the same as Ochel Yeshen Ishtan Elias Ochel B. What has it got to do with our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, a live animal is Aymed Lachila. Even though on Shabbos you can't shecht it, still it's aimed lachila. So what exactly how did Rabbi Yosef understand the machlokes of Rabbi Shimon? I'm not sure exactly. we understand, generally speaking, how we what it is. The fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Reb Shimon is whether you say oichlem and kelim amuchan me'aleim, or you need hachanas habaylim, hachanas agavra. So according to Rabbi Yudah, then you need hachanas habaylim. So it's, Rabbi Yosef understood that a live animal doesn't have hachanas habaylim because you can't shecht it on Shabbos. We understand the general outline of what he's driving at. But still, a baitain is that it's no tzushto. That's noilad. It's kli A shenishtanali is kli B. And that's identical. That's lishitosa by Michael A shenishtanali is Michael B. The live animal shenisnabla b'Shabbos. It switched to become, it converted to become Michael Behem in the middle of Shabbos. That's Michael A shenishtanali is Michael B. So the hachonas abam is on the first Michael, on the first kli. There was no hachon on the second kli. But in our Mishnah, it's not nisnabla. Our Mishnah was nishchato. So it was Michael Adam. And it's nishchato. So it's Michael Adam before Shabbos, Michael Adam in the middle of Shabbos. That's Abai Tainas. Amalei Abai Midomi. There it's a shaylov noilo chenegom. And here it's uchle difras. Here it's just, you had a big oichel, you had a big chala, and then you slice it. So that's called Michael Esh and Ishtan Elias Michael B. Originally it was a big shlema, a big chala, and now it became a prusa. Here you had originally a live animal and then you shecht it. So now it's lamb chops. Originally it was a whole lamb, now it's lamb chops. So he says that that's uchle difras, uchle shenifra mechaveiroi.
Why is the veil of Michael Behem?
I think the goyim probably don't eat mesa me'elehu either. I think they'll only eat if it was killed properly, shaloi al pihil cheshchita. But an animal that dies a natural death, they probably would not want to eat it. They'd probably be afraid, probably assume that it was a sickly animal. I think so. I think that's the assumption of the Gemara. That's why it's considered Michael Behem. It's not considered Michael Adam. Yeah. There is an opinion that in the Rishonim that Bnei Noach are not permitted to eat Mesa Me'elehu. But the Pashto says in the end of Chulin. I think the Maritz Chais quotes it on the Avtzad Galaf or something. There is such a day in the Rishon. But the Pashtus is, it's not so. It's not from the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. You don't need Shechita to remove the Yisei Menachai. Once the animal drops dead, so the Yisei Menachai. But there is such an opinion that Mesa Me'elah, they're not allowed to eat. Only allowed to eat a behemoth that was killed.
According to those, what kind of behemoth was out of the Rishon? What was he allowed to eat? According to those, it said he had to have the deep meat. Just wasn't allowed to shech. But
basically,
he was allowed to.
That's what Tosis says in Sanhedrin. He wasn't allowed to kill animals, but an animal that would die by itself was. And there's an opinion in Rishonim against that Tosis. I think the Maritz Chais on the outside of Galif quotes that opinion. That Bnei Noach are not permitted to eat Mesa Me'elah. Yeah, that that would make the Gemara very easy. But the Pashto is we don't accept that opinion. So Abai Dingzach with the second Pshat also. The Gemara is still fishing around. It must be a Rabbi Yudah. So the Gemara says, Elo, six lines from the bottom of Yudalamis, Elam Rav Sheshes, Beide Ravidis, Rav Yudah by Neiris. That what? Rav Yudah by Neiris. That Muktamach Masmius. If you have a Oichlim in Kalim, are usually not muktzah. Other mekalim ochlam and mashkim. These four things are not muktzah. The four categories of things that are mekabel tumah are not muktzah. Muktzah is everything else. So what if you have a kli that no one is going to use? Basically, it's a kli that has ishtamshus. I have a plastic cup that somebody used it already, and they ate the salami, and it's all full of mustard and grease and everything, and they threw it in the garbage. So no one's going to use it. Strictly speaking, you can wash it off with hot water and you can reuse it for whatever you want. But I don't know who the other guy was. Maybe he had a lot of germs. Okay? So lemaisa, we're not going to use it. So in the days of the Tanoim, they had such a disposable kli also that they used to use once and they threw it out in the garbage. That was a kli cheres that they would fill with oil and put a wick. And after they would burn the oil, it would be so filthy, so full of black soot. It didn't pay for them to wash it off and reuse it a second time. They would throw it out in the garbage. It would be more expensive to wash it up. It would cost money for the detergent and for the water. They couldn't just turn on the water. They had to schlep water from a well, from a river, so it wouldn't pay for them. So they would throw it out in the garbage. See, everything that's a kli, that lamaisa people don't use as a kli. So that's a machlekes hatanoim, Rab Shimon and Rab Yudah. So Rab Yudah says, since lamaisa people don't use it, as a kli, so that's mukta. That's the Gemara quotes a brisa, four lines from the bottom of Yudalim and base. The Tanya, metalfim ner chodesh avalo yoshin. A ner means the cup that you put the oil and the wick into. So you're allowed to handle a new ner on Shabbos. You're allowed to handle means l'tzarch gufa l'tzarch mekayma. It's klisha malach delisa. It's like a screwdriver, like a hammer. Klisha malach delisa. You're not allowed to move around either. That was a later gzera. That's what we said. B'mein nechemid ben chakalya nishnis mishnah zu. We pointed out the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that the iser and tiltul kelim klisha malach delisa was introduced at the beginning of the Baisheni as opposed to the iser of tiltul mukza that had existed from the days of David HaMelech or before. Perhaps the Gemara says when David HaMelech died on Shabbos he was mutal b'chama. And Shlomo HaMelech went to ask the Chachamim, is there any way he can move him out of the sun? So the Rabbanim told him, put a kikar etinik, you'll be allowed to. So you see, the Pipashtus, that the Gzera Mukta preceded the Gzera of Tiltul Kalim by several hundred years. The Netziv wants to say not so. The Netziv asked this Kasha, so he says, the Gzera was instituted in days of David HaMelech, and Shlomo observed it, but then it petered out. Then there was, the Tziba didn't really accept it. And the klal is whenever you have a takana de rabbanon or a gzera de rabbanon, and the people don't observe it, so it falls apart by itself. So later, nechemim ben chakalya nishnas mishnah zu, then they reinstituted the same gzera, and then it was accepted like we had before. Rashi said by the kusim, the original, the tanoim originally who made the gzera declaring the kusim azakum, so it wasn't accepted because the kusim were mixed in with the rest of klal yisrael, so it was too difficult to observe. And a couple of generations later, when the Amoraim, Rabami, Rabasi, when they reinstituted the same gzera, by then the kusim had already been separated from the rest of the klal, so it was easier to observe it then, so then it was accepted. That's how the Netziv says. But the pashtus is, you can say that the original gzera was only amukts, and the later gzera was until klisha malach deliyasa. So the Brisa says, if you have, let's say, a candle on Yom Tov is a klisha malach delehet. You're allowed to light a candle. A candle on Shabbos, Magen Avraham writes, is a klisha malach delehisa. So you're not allowed to move it. Shalol letzorech gufo, shalol letzorech mekomo. But letzorech gufo, letzorech mekomo, it's considered a klisha malach delehisa. Or let's say a candlestick on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So a candlestick on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if you didn't light candles in it, so the worst it could be is a klisha malach delehisa, like a screwdriver and a hammer. So you're not allowed to move it. Unless it'll soak goof, it'll soak makom if it's in the way. So that's what the Brisa says, metatal mener chodesh. If you have a new candlestick, or you have a candlestick is made from metal, so even if you use it already, it's not going to get dirty, you're not going to throw it in the garbage. Or if you have, let's say, a cheres, a kli cheres, that's manufactured in order to put in oil and a wick, in order to lighten it, so that's a klisha malach deli iser on Shabbos, on Yontav it'll be a klisha malach deli etta. On Shabbos it'll be a klisha malach deli iser, so but it's not mukta. So the Brisa calls that metaltalem ner chodesh. You're permitted to move it, provided it's letzach gufa letzach mekayma. Aval lo yoshan, but if you have a ner yoshan, a klicheres that was used already, so that's mukta machmas miyus. So people are going to throw it in the garbage. Normal person is going to throw it in the garbage, not going to use it. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's mukta mamish, and Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon holds no, that oichlam and kalim, even though the minigolim is that you throw it out in the garbage. But still, since it's a kli, so Reb Shimon holds that it's not mukta. So the Gemara thought that it would be the same machlekes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon over here. You have a live animal, so you're right. The live animal is oichal adam because it's oimid l'shchita. But on Shabbos, it's not going to be oimid l'shchita. Religious Jews, they don't have a non-observant Jew around. They had no Reformed Jews, so all the Jews are observant. They're not going to shecht it on whoever's interested in shechting is not going to shecht it on Shabbos. Okay, so they thought that this is parallel to the case of Mukta Machmas Mias. The thing is a kli, but Lamaisa, no one's going to use it. Ruba de Ruba, not going to use it. The behemah is an oichel, but Lamaisa, religious, the owner is a Jew. The owner is a religious Jew. So he's not going to shecht it on Shabbos. So the Gemara thought that just like Mukta Machmas Mias is a machleg zabiyud Reb Shimon, so to over here, Mukta Machmas Isa will be a machleg zabiyud Reb Shimon. That was the Rav Sheshes' suggestion. So then the Gemara says, what's the tzushtel? They do different things. Mukta machmas miyus, that's universal. The goyim also throw their, when you use a plastic cup, and it's all full of the mustard and the grease, the goyim also throw it out in the garbage. Everybody throws it in the garbage. When you have a klicheres, a cheap, inexpensive klicheres, and you already lit in it once, and it's all full of soot, everyone's going to throw it out in the garbage. A Jew, a non-Jew, everyone's going to throw it out. It doesn't pay to wash it out. It's going to cost more for the water and the detergent than it's going to cost to buy another kli. to light in. Masheni came muktzmach masisa. That's only Jewish people don't shecht on Shabbos. A non-Jew will shecht on Shabbos. So there's no tzushtel just because it's a machlekes of Yudah Reb Shinda by muktzmach masmius. It doesn't necessarily mean the Reb Yudah will disagree also and hold that there's such a thing as a muktzmach masisa. If you have a kli or you have an oichel here, same thing. Kelim and oichel, same thing. Here we're talking about an oichel. You have a live animal which you're not allowed to shecht. Let's say you have a kli which you're not allowed to use on Shabbos. The Gemara has in the end of Perek Dama Madlikin, the Gemara has a Machlokes Hatanoim. You have a shofar Orech HaTzoitzro on Shabbos or Yontif. So it's a musical instrument, so you're not allowed to, the main Hishtamshus is to blow with it. So you're not allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yontif. So the Gemara has a Machlokes Hatanoim, Machlokes Abyuda Reb Shimon, whether there's such a thing as Muktzamach Masisa or not. The Gemara is going to reject it here, but the Gemara is going to restore it again. So the Gemara thought that our Mishnah is also Muktzmach Masiser. A live animal is Oichel. Oimed Lachilo Sodom, you're right. But on Shabbos, you can't shecht it. So that should be a Machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon. Do you call it Oichel despite the fact that Mitam Isa Melocha, you're not allowed to use it? Let's say you have a shofar. And you don't want to blow. You want to blow shofar, so that's an isa midirabon. You're blowing a musical instrument on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to. What if I want to take the shofar to draw some water to drink? A shofar is twisted like this, so you can use it. It's physically possible to use it to draw water in it. So the Gemara says, "Al pi pashtas," that that would be a machlekes a beauty Reb Shimon. If it would only be a klisha malachtali, he says, all the Tanaim would agree. The Tzarek Gufay, you're allowed to use it. But the Machlekes HaTanaim is Muktzamach Masisa. So Reb Shimon denies it. It's a kli. Reb Shimon holds Oichla Mikelem Aran Muchan Me'aleim. And Reb Yudah says no. If it's Mukta, if there's an Iser Shabbos, whether an Iser Derais of Shchita or an Iser Derabbanan of playing music, if there's an Iser involved and using it for its normal Hishtamshus, then according to Reb Yudah, it's going to be Mukta. So that's how Reb Shesha starts off. Just like Reb Yudah has a machlokes with Reb Shimon by a ner yoshan, the thing is a kli, but lemaisa people don't use it. People are going to throw it in the garbage. They're not going to use it. So too, he thought there should be a machlokes Reb Yudah Reb Shimon by muktzamach masisa. So the Gemara Tain is no. What's the tzushtel? The Gemara wants to say amen. The Shamus later Reb Yudah but muktzamach masmius that a non-Jew will throw it out also in the garbage. No one's going to use it. So that doesn't have a shame kli. But muktzamach masisa mi Shamus later no. Reb Yudah is not going to disagree by a live animal. Reb Yudah will agree with the Chachamim that it should not be muktzah. It should have a shame oichel. It should have a shame kli, and it should not pose a problem. So the Gemara says that's not true. They say they quote from a brisa. The Tanya Reb Yudah Mekol Aner Shel Mateches. As opposed to the top line and Tezvav and Alf, as opposed to Nerishal Cheres, that was a Muktamach Masmius. Once you lit in it, so everyone's going to throw it in the garbage. You're going also, so it doesn't have a shame kli. It's Eitzim Abanu Yofar. Nerishal Matechas, a candlestick made from metal. If you lit in it once, you're going to reuse it many, many times over. You're not going to throw it out. It's not disposable. You're going to reuse it because it's much easier to clean up. Well, Nerishal Matechas Metaltalim, it's a klisha malach deliyisa. You're not allowed to handle it unless Litzarch Gufa, Litzarch Mekami. But Metal means if it's Litzarch Gufa, Litzarch Mekami, you're allowed to handle it. Chutzman Aner, Shedlikabal Beyosa Shabbos, if you lit in it in the beginning of Shabbos, since it was Muktzah Ben Ashmashis, it'll remain Muktzah all of Shabbos. Why is that? And if it's Muktzah, that even Litzarch Gufa, Litzarch Mekami, there's no Heta Tiltel. Heta Tiltel is only if it's only Klisha Malach Deliyisa. Why is Ner Shedlikabal Beyosa Shabbos if the flame was burning Ben Ashmashes, why does everybody agree that it's Muktzah? How come Reb Yudah says over there that it's Muktzah? So the Maskon of the Gemara, Masechu Shabbos on that daf, and then Dalet and Ralph, the Maskon of the Gemara is Hanach Lener Shemin of Psila. Leave out the Ner is the cup on the bottom, is called the Ner, the Shemin is the oil, and the Psila is the wick. Someone lit a Ner before Shabbos, and then in the middle of Shabbos it blows out. So Reb Yudah claims, Reb Yudah says that the Ner Shem and Epsila, everything will remain Mukta. So the Maskonas HaGemara is the reason why it's Mukta, because everything is Hanach Ner Shem and Epsila, Holem and Asa, Basis, Adavar Asa. Because the flame is on top of it, and everything below the flame, the wick, the oil, and the container, and the cup on the bottom, all three have the status of a Basis, Adavar Asa. And even though now the flame went out in the middle of Shabbos, so now it's no longer a cause to declare it as muktzah. Whatever is muktzah ben hashmoshes, it remains muktzah throughout the Shabbos. That's migudis katzoy. So that's maskonas haGemara in Shabbos daf mem dalit. That the real reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's muktzah, there she likabo bosu Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it even letzach guf letzach and kaimai, is because of bosu sedaber ha'asa. If it's bas davar hasan the shalheves is muktzah, so why shouldn't a candlestick be muktzah on yontif also? So we explain because the flame has a shtamshes on yontif. You're allowed to light another flame from already existing flame. On Shabbos, you can only use the light and the warmth that's given off by the flame, but you can't use the actual flame itself. So the flame itself on Shabbos is a davar shein bo hishtamshes klal. So on Shabbos, a flame is muktzah. On yontif, a flame is not muktzah, like a live animal. Live animal on Yontav is not muktzah. If you play a live chicken, a live animal, if you plant a shecht on Yontav, let's just say that b'zman hazeh not allowed a shecht, as we discussed the possibility in the Mishnah. Since b'zman hazeh nobody, even the shechet doesn't shecht on Yontav. He takes out from the freezer, his wife takes out from the freezer, then maybe b'zman hazeh not allowed a shecht on Yontav. But leaving that out, b'zman hagemar, you're allowed a shecht on Yontav. So a live animal that you plant a shecht is not considered muktzah on Yontav. So that's the maskonas haGemara there in Shabbos. Our Gemara is not going with the maskona. That's by Rashi. Our Gemara is beferish going with the original suggestion over there, because the Gemara says over here, second line from the bottom, three lines from the bottom of Yudal and Rebbeis. Eim the Shabbos lay the Rebbeu the Muktz Machmas Mius Muktz Machmas Sisim Mi Shabbos lay. Gemara says no, it's not true. The Tanya, we have a Bryce. So the Gemara compares our case. You have a live animal which you plan to eat, you're going to shecht it sometime. So the Gemara says we should really call it Meichel Odom, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to shecht it. So does it have a Shem Meichel on Shabbos or not? So the Gemara says that should depend on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and they give the Tzushtel from a Kli, that you have a Ne'er Shehidliko bobos or Shabbos. So you're not allowed a kli only has a shem kli if it has hishtamshes on Shabbos. Hishtamshes means, let's say, a clock sits on the wall and you look at it all the time. That's or paintings hang all or photographs hanging on the wall. That's not called hishtamshes. The Magen Avraham talks about that. Let's say someone wants to take off a painting from a picture from the wall and show it to someone, hang it back up. So the Magen Avraham raises the possibility that should be muktzah on Shabbos. A dovah shein bo hishtamshes. Normally, you leave it hanging. You don't handle it. You look at it. So if the whole ishtamshis is that you just look at it, that's not called ishtamshis. Ishtamshis is if you handle it. So on Shabbos, the flame doesn't have ishtamshis. On Yontav, the flame has ishtamshis. You can light another flame from it. So the Gemara says over here, the cup that holds the shemet of psilo and the flame on top, so the Gemara, the maskonis haGemara in Shabbos was that it's muktzah rebuted because of buses, because the flame is dovah shein hishtamshes at all on Shabbos. But the havamin of the Gemara there was like our Gemara. The Rebbeuta says that it's muktzah machmas iser. What's the iser? So Rashi explains, that's how it says there in the Gemara. You're not allowed to handle the cup. You can leave the cup on the table with the shemen and the psila and the shalheves and use the light. You can serve the meal with the candlelight in the room. It illuminates the whole room. But can you have hishtamshes with the cup itself? Can you move around the cup? So the Gemara says there, that should depend on the Machlekes Hatanaim, Rab Yehuda and Rab Shimon, by Dov Sheinim is Kavin. If I do a Pu'ula HaMuteris, which may or may not lead to a Malacha, I know in advance that it may or may not bring about a Malacha. If you start walking around, by Yossi, walking with a candle is not going to blow out. The candle is not going to blow out. You go slowly. But in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have a candle that had solid wax. They had liquid. So when you let it sit like this on the table, so it's not going to blow out. You're going to start walking with the nair, with the cup that has the shemen of psila in it. So you're going to walk, you're going to be bouncing up and down, and the shemen may extinguish the flame, may or may not extinguish the flame. So strictly speaking, there's nothing wrong with walking around with a candle on Shabbos. There's no malacha involved. We paskin that it's buses. The maskon, it's buses. But before the Gemara came to that realization, first the Gemara thought that's a davar hamuta, to walk around with a candle is muta, but to do kibuy is a malacha. So lemaisa, the cup is the cup that holds the oil with the wick, with the flame. Is that considered a kli? Is that considered a kli or not? So the Gemara says it should depend on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. If you hold davar shenim is kavin is muter, So you're allowed to walk. It's not a psik reisha that the flame is going to go out. So then you would be permitted to walk around with the cup, with the oil. But if you all like Reb Yudah, that dovish enim miskaben is aser, so then you're not allowed to walk around with the cup. So therefore, according to Reb Yudah, the cup bein hashmashes, when the flame was burning, was a kli that mukta machmas iser. There was an iser to be metalpel it. There was an iser to handle it, to use it like a normal candlestick. A normal candlestick to walk around with the candle. So Reb Yudah l'shitosa hov dovish enim miskaben is aser. So that's why he would say that there's a din of muktzmach masisa. So the Gemara says that tzushtalovi him. Oichlam and kelim are treated the same way. So if you have here a live animal, fine. A live animal has a shem maichal adam, good. But on Shabbos, you're not allowed to shecht it. So the live animal should be muktzmach masisa. Then in the middle of Shabbos, some crackpot went ahead. Shecht it b'Shabbos. So he forgot that it was Shabbos, b'mezid, b'shegi, whatever. And he shecht the behema on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, according to Reb Yudah l'shitasa, just like he holds that a kli that you're not allowed to handle machmas isa malocha, machmas dovish enim miskaben av kibui. So such a kli is called muktz machmas isa. It doesn't have a shame kli. A kli is only called a kli if it has a shtamshus. If it doesn't have a shtamshus, not etzman v'amri offer. I'm not called the kli to have no shtamshus. Even if you have a kli that on 6 days a week it has a shtamshus, but on Shabbos it doesn't have any shtamshus. So that's what Reb Yudah says on Shabbos, it's not called a kli. So Michael Odom, that 6 days a week he can shecht the behem and eat it, has a shame Michael Odom, but on Shabbos he can't shecht it. On Yontav he can, but on Shabbos he can't shecht it. So it doesn't have a shame Oichel on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara thought now, Rav Sheshes, who's Rav Sheshes, Brei de Ravi, they're different Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes thought that when the Chavraya said that Rav was Ali with Reb Yudah, it's this Reb Yudah. Mukta, first they thought Mukta Machmas Mius. So they thought if you have Oichlam or Kalim, that Lamaisa people are not going to use. For whatever reason, people are not going to use. So then it depends on the Machlegs Reb Yudah Reb Shimon by Mukta. Reb Shimon holds Muchan, Oichlam or Kalim are Muchan the Aleim, and Reb Yudah holds Inid Achanas Abaylam. So since Lamaisa people are not going to use it, either because they throw it in the garbage, the greasy disposable plastic cup, or the kli cheres over there that they lid in once, or the live animal because of the isis. The first, the Gemara thought that it's interchangeable. Muktzmach masiser, muktzmach masmias, it's all the same thing. So Rabbi Shimon would say that it's oichle mekelem amucha me'aleim. Rabbi Yudah says, no, since you need achanas habaylim, elamaisit, people are not going to use it for one reason or another, either because of isa, because of mius. So it doesn't have a shame oichle, it doesn't have a shame kli. Then the Gemara says, what's the tzushta? Muktzmach masmius, the goyim, that's international. The goyim are not going to use it either. But muktzmach masis and mishamis, like who says the Reb Yudah would disagree? The Gemara says, no, you have the farish. The Reb Yudah says, even muktzmach masis, he also holds from. So the Gemara says, you're still not no tzushta. And second line from the top, the Gemara says, Dilmashani hosam, the who dochi lei biadaim. Maybe it's different. Maybe, perhaps, the only time Rabbi Yudah holds that there's a din, you can't prove from that brisa in Masechet Shabbos what Rabbi Yudah would say over here. Here you have a live animal, has a shame, Michael. You want to say, because it's osa to shecht it, so Rabbi Yudah will say it doesn't have a shame, Oichel, because of the Iser. You can't prove it from over there. There, he was docha bi'adayim. He lit in there on Erev Shabbos. So he made it impossible to handle the cup that has the oil in it. Mashenikin over here, it's by itself, it happened like that. There's room to say that it is the same, but there's room to ding, so you can't really prove it. So the Gemara says, you can't really pin it on Reb Yudah. We really don't have a Beferisha place, a Beferisha Mokka, where it says that our case would be totally in the Machlegs of Yudah Reb Shim. Gemara finally says, no, Elam Ravashi, it's Reb Yudah by Mabashal B'Shabbos, not Reb Yudah versus Reb Shim, and by Mukta, the first three attempts, it's rather Reb Yudah versus Reb Meir, by the penalty of Mavashal B'Shabbos. So that's where we started last week. There's a fundamental machloikah satana. In Pashup Shad Rabbi Yechanan Sandla holds that it's a din deraisa. He learns it out from the pasuk. That's what Rashi learns, Pashup Shad. Rashi quotes Rashi by the last narrow line going on to the wider lines. He quotes from Merubah, from Baba Kama, Dafayin Aleph, from Aleph. The Gemara says, Shmartim Asal Shabbos Ki Kodesh Ilochem, that just like Mechaleh, most humans, just like Mechal Shabbos deserves a death penalty. So one that does a malacha b'Shabbos, a mavashal b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat the food, period. The food is also b'achila. No one is allowed to eat it, dilomis. No one's ever allowed to eat it. Shoin. And the other Tanaim say no, that it's only a penalty midirabbanan. Hamavashel b'Shabbos. So within the other Tanaim who disagree with Rabbi Yechon Hassan, hold that it's only a penalty midirabbanan, then there's a machlokes haTanaim, a big sugi in Gittin daf Nun Gimel. That's what Tosis alludes to. Gittin daf Nun Gimel goes on and on and on and on. A whole two blot Gemara where the Konsu Shog got to Mezer. Whenever the Chachamim want to make a penalty midirabbanan because the guy violated some kind of an avera or another, so does it only make sense to make a penalty b'mezid or even b'shegeg? Let's say, so this, what's it doing in Gittin Daf Nun Gimel? Because the Mishnah has there hametame v'hamedame v'hamenasech. A person makes a hezek shein and nika. So the Mishnah says hametame v'hamedame v'hamenasech. If he did it b'mezid, he's chayv. If he did it b'shegeg, he's potter. So Gemara wants to know why. Adam mod li'olam be'im shegeg be'im mezid. Adam amazik. The Mishnah says in Baba Kam, the end of the second parak, is always chayv even b'shegeg. So why all of a sudden over here? So the Gemara suggests, the Gemara gives two shitas. So the accepted opinion, the Gemara comes to the conclusion. The final maskonas of the Gemara is a hezek sheni nika loishmei hezek. If you make a hezek, that's only a hezek al pi halacha. If you ask a nochri, if you tell a nochri, look what he did. He was matami. He took a dead sheretz and he touched it. So the guy says, so what? So wash it off. It's al pi halacha, it's a hezek. In Mila Dalman terms, in common sense terms, there is no hezek. By matame, medame, menasa, medame means he mixed in a little bit of truma. You have so many units of truma. Truma is only bottle be'echad emeya. So you have 99 units of wine of truma, and I poured in a little more. You have 99 units of chulin wine. I pour in one unit of truma wine. So now I gave you an extra unit. But you're not a kohen, so now you can't drink anything. So you're screaming, I was mazik you. The goy will say, thank you very much. Now I have 100 units of wine. He didn't do any hezek. So that's called hezek shein and nika. In common sense terms, there is no hezek. But al pi halacha, he made a hezek. So we pass a hezek shein and nika lav shmei hezek. But our Torah doesn't have to pay. It's only a chiyuv midirabbanan. So then the Gemara has a whole discussion. Whenever they make a penalty midirabbanan, does it make sense that really you should say they only made the penalty b'mezid? They shouldn't make any penalty b'shegig. But maybe you should say konsu shog got to mezid. Maybe the guy's going to make believe. He's going to make it look like an accident, and then he's going to say he can't penalize me. So maybe it makes sense to make a penalty even b'shegig. So that's a ganze machleikus satanoim, whether yes or no, whether konsu shog got to mezid or lo konsu shog got to mezid. It begins with that Mishnah in Hanazaken. Hametame v'hametame v'hamenasech b'mezid chay b'shegig pota, because lo konsu shog got to mezid. Then the Gemara opens up the whole discussion. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Various cases. That case happens to do with food. Hametame v'hametame v'hametasech happens to be dealing with food. But the Gemara has other cases also. Let's say a man marries Muberes Chavera, Menekes Chavera. There's a dimmer de Rabbanan. You're not allowed to marry a woman who's pregnant with someone else's child. She was previously married to someone else. When a woman gets divorced, you have to wait 3 months in order to ask, before she remarries, to ascertain whether she's pregnant from the first husband or not, because we want to know who the father of the child is. Let's say it's clear who the father of the child is. She's highly pregnant with her baby. So that's a din. You're not allowed to marry her there. Even though you don't need it for havchana purposes, no, you're not allowed to marry her because muberes chaver, because we're afraid that the new husband, it's not his child. So he may not be careful, and he may be with the wife, and he may cause her to lose the child. And Menekes Chavera also, if the mother is nursing the baby, so she may become pregnant from the second husband, and then the milk that she's going to be nursing the baby from the first husband won't be as healthy when the woman is pregnant, so the milk is not as good, hardly any milk comes out. So then, and it's not his child, so the Gemara says that it may happen that the child will be undernourished, the child may die from malnutrition, and second husband won't notice it. If it would have been his baby, he would be on top of the baby all day and all night. He'll notice that the baby needs a little formula. The baby needs another woman to nurse the child. But if it's not his child, so the Gemara says, the far-fetched possibility, he may not care. So you're not allowed to bear menekes chaver meberes chaver. So what if, let's say, there's a woman, her first husband died. Now she's menekes o meberes. And I'm a kohen, I didn't know. So I go and I marry her. So, b'shegeg, I didn't know that there was an issa. We didn't know. So there's a din midirabbanan. You have to divorce her right away. But I'm going to divorce her, then I won't be able to remarry her later on because I'm a kohen. Then she'll become a grusha. So that's a machlokes haTanaim. If he married a b'shegig, they still say there's a penalty. Yotzi, has to divorce her, even b'shegig, or do you say, no, if he married her b'mezid, and we catch him, then we force him to divorce her. Aye, now she's going to become a grusha, he won't be able to remarry her. Tough luck, who told you to violate the din d'rabbanan? But if he married her b'shegig, so then we say, let them separate until the baby grows up, until the baby is born, and then until the baby grows up, and then we'll let them live together. So that's a machlokes hatanan over there also, where the consul show got amazing. All the cases, the Gemara has a whole bunch of cases, 10, 15 cases, a collection of all of Shas, penalties. So the Gemara says, that's the fundamental machlokes between Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda over here, where the consul show got amazing or the consul show got amazing. So Rab Meir holds on the Vashal B'Shabbos B'Shegig, there's no penalty at all. B'mezid lo yechol. B'mezid is a penalty. Rab Yehuda holds B'Shegig yechol matzoi Shabbos. Kontzu shogot amazed. It's not the same. Mezid and shogig are not exactly the same. He says, but mezid is a bigger knas, but still, the fundamental machlokes is Rabbi Yehuda holds that kontzu shogot amazed, even b'shogig can make a penalty. So that's what the Gemara said. That's what he meant to say on the Mishnah. Rab just said, you're not allowed to eat it, but osa yom, whether he shechted b'mezid or b'shogig, because the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. It's an unusual, usually Stam Mishnah is Rab Meir. Here is Stam Mishnah is not Rab Meir. Here is Stam Mishnah according to Rab Meir, Ashecha b'Shabbos is Shchitosa Kshera would only be if he shechted b'Shoigig. But if he shechts b'Mezid, it'll be Asa. If again, Ashecha Shchitosa Kshera. No, how does Gemara say? Shabbos is dumia the Yom Kippur doesn't make a difference. Shogeg or mezid, just like on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat it. Bosa yom beim shogeg beim mezid. The Shabbos also you're not allowed to eat it. Bosa yom beim shogeg beim mezid. According to Reb Meir, it's not true. Hashech b'Shabbos b'shogeg, you would be allowed to eat it. Only Hashech b'Shabbos beim mezid. So that's what the Gemara said. This Mishnah is a yotzei min haklal. Usually, Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir. This Stam Mishnah is beferish not like Reb Meir. This is Reb Yehuda. How do we paskin? Should we paskin like Reb Meir or like Reb Yehuda? Usually, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Lachik, Rav Yehuda. Usually, we pass like Rav Yehuda. Here, the Gemara says that Rav gave a different psak for the Talmidim, and gave a different psak for the Balabatim. For the Talmidim in the yeshiva who knew how to learn, they were observant people. So he said the din is like Rav Meir. There's an exception to the rule. Usually, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Lachik, Rav Yehuda. So Rav paskin for the Talmidim, and din is like Rav Meir over here. That lo konsu show got amazing. For the Balabatim, Bepirko, when Rav would give a shiur for the Balabatim, when Rav came to Bavel, so the Gemara says later in Kolabosa and other places that the Balabatim were very ignorant and they were all Mechalei Shabbos and they didn't know the dinim. They didn't know any of the dinim. So he felt compelled to be Machmer Mor. If you'll be Machmer Mor, so he'll elevate the level of religious observance by the Balabatim. So when he paskin for the Balabatim, he would paskin like Reb Yehuda, Lahachmer. That's a Shaila, where does that leave us? We are not, that's Tosis raises the show, we are not as ignorant, the Balei Tosis say, we are not as ignorant as Rav's Balabatim, but on the other hand, we are not as learned as his Talmidim. So we're in between his Talmidim and his Balabatim. So do we have the din, do we say Mikra din, the din is like Reb Yehuda? The Mikra din, the din is like Reb Meir. That's how Rav said. Mikra, the din is like Reb Meir when he paskins for the Talmidim, for the religious Jews, the Talmidim were the religious Jews. The din is like Reb Meir, that lo konsu shogot amazed. Is that the din? Tosis says, Mori like Reb Meir, mashma shikain alocha, v'chein dorash rova. Tosis wants to say we should paskin like Reb Meir, and then the other Rishonim say, no, it's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, on this Tosis, Mori luhuke Reb Meir. Because we're in between. We're not as ignorant as his Balabatim, we're not as learned, we're not as religious as his Talmidim were. So it leaves us hanging in the middle. So two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, how do we pass? The Mishnah Brura discusses halacha lemaisa, how should you paskin? Let's say a person, someone carried some food in the Rishus HaRabim and he brought it to a new location. So b'shegeg, he thought there's an erev and it turns out there is no erev. Where he comes from, he always carries because there's an erev. Didn't realize that over here there is no erev. So he carried b'shegeg. So is there a penalty or not? So the Mishnah Brura says, well, half of the Rishonim say that b'shegig we paskin like Reb Meir, like Tosis says, mash mishkein aloch, you should paskin like Reb Meir. That b'shegig lo konsu shogot amazed should be mutter, And even though the other Rishonim, even though the Rambam paskins not so, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda that b'shogeg there's also a penalty, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Rashba has a suggestion that by hoitzor, since he didn't create a new heftzes, it doesn't make sense to say that there should be a penalty of hamavashal b'shabbos. And all the 39 obvious malachas, when you, with the exception of hoitzor, hoitzor is the malacha gruahi. All 38 out of 39 malachas, after you do the malacha, you've created some change. You always come up with a new heftzah that wasn't really there before. Made some major change. And the thing used to be in this rishus, then you moved it to the other rishus. So the Rashba wants to say that maybe there's no penalty of hamavashal b'shabbos by hoitzor. That's what he wants to say. So the Mishnah Berurah says maybe in this case, maybe it's a svek sveka. The fella carried in rishus harabim b'shegeg. So maybe the din is like Tosfos. Tosfos wants to say the halacha ma'isa. Rab paskin for the bnei ha'yeshiva like Rab Meir. But the balabatim they weren't learning at all. So he had to be machma like Rab Yehuda. But we're not such amaratzim. So maybe we should really follow the psak of Rab for the talmidim. That the halacha is like Rab Meir. Look, kansinu shokot to ma'isa. And even though the Rambam paskin is not so, the Rambam paskin is like Rab Yehuda. But still, maybe the din is like the Rashba. That by hotzod there is no penalty. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah wants to be machriya, and the Bir Alochi has like that.
Is there a difference between the Raisa or the Rabbanan of Katsu Shagigah?
In the Gemara, not. The Mishnah Berurah wants to make differences. Mishnah Berurah wants to make differences. Lemaskon halacha lemais. Yeah. So this is what the Gemara finally says. When the Talmidim said, Aliba de Rab, that it's also Bo Bayom. And the early generation of Amoraim thought that Rav's memra was only Aliba Rab Yehuda, so we attempted three times. We attempted to say it's Rab Yehuda, the Bar Plukta of Rab Shimon, Rab Yehuda of Muktze. And we kept on pulling on different Rab Yehudas, and everything is inconclusive. It's not necessarily Mukhrach. It could be that it is Rab Yehuda the Muktze, but everything is inconclusive. You can be matre everything, but the Lamaskana the Gemara finally comes out. No, they meant the Talmidim Chavraya meant to say that is the Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir regarding the din of Hamavashal B'Shabbos, penalty of Hamavashal B'Shabbos. The Mishnah has the Gemara has dinim in Shabbos and in Beitzen and Erevin if a Nochri does Malacha B'Shvil Yisrael. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi and he was traveling by boat and the boat landed on the middle of Shabbos. Most of the passengers on the boat were not Jewish. If most of the passengers on the boat are Jewish, you're not allowed to. The sailors are doing malacha on Shabbos. So if most of the passengers are Jewish, so it's Amir Lenochri. So you're not allowed to go on such a boat. Sometimes they have a glatt kosher cruise, and everybody on the cruise are all Shami Shabbos. So how do they have the going running the cruise on Shabbos? You're not allowed to. That's Amir Liakum. 51% of the passengers, it doesn't help that they have a lot of workers on the boat. It depends on the paying passengers. The malachas are done on behalf of those customers. The paying customers. So if most of the customers are non-Jews, so then you go basarayv. So there's no isa amir liyakum. Same thing a Jew has, let's say, shares in a corporation. And the corporation runs business on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So it's tach amir liyakum. He buys a share in a corporation, and they're doing business for him on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and others have the same tshuva as well, that most of the shareholders are non-Jews. So the malacha is done for the non-Jews. So that's not called Amir Liakum. You know, Ben Kovako, they're going to do all the malachas anyway. So the Mishnah has a situation. Rabbi Gamliel is on a boat, and Rove of the passengers are not Jewish. The boat arrives, so they didn't have, like we have when you come by plane, they come by boat. So they have everything is made to fit, and you have a ramp, and everybody can go down the ramp. It's Mana Tanaim, they had to construct a ramp every single time a boat landed. They have to take wood and nails and a hammer and bang the nails and construct a plank. So the Gemara says, if the Nochri made the plank on Shabbos in order that they should be able to climb down from the boat on Shabbos, then if they knew that the chief rabbi was there and they did it, look over the chief rabbi, Nochri Shasim Alocha, that's Baina. That's a Makabah Patish Baina. They bang together nails and a wood and they make a whole plank. So that's Makabah Patish Abona. So then he's not allowed to get down from the boat. But if they didn't know that the chief rabbi was there, they did it for whoever the passengers happened to. How are they supposed to know? They have no cell phone. They don't know who's on a boat. They did it for whoever the passengers are. and most of the passengers are nachrim. So then it's a nachrim shasim alacha b'shabbos of the yontav, and rov of he did it for a group of people, and rov of the people are nachrim. So then there's no din of akum shasim alacha, then it's also lihanis memenu. But if rov of the people are Jewish or they had a mind beferish the chief rabbi, then the Gemara says you're not allowed to get hanuah from it until bechdei shiyasim. You have to wait after Shabbos is over the amount of time that it would have taken him to make such a plank. Let's say it took him 2 hours to make the plank. You have to wait 2 hours after Tzeis HaKohen. So that's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in Shabbos and in Beitz and in Erev. And every time the Gemara has the dinner, b'chdei she'asa, why? So Rashi says, in order not to be nena from Alecha Shabbos. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. They say, that's not why. Tosfos Tainus, how can he say, in order not to be nena from Alecha Shabbos? Here it says, Hamavashal b'Shabbos b'shegeg yoichal. You can eat it right away. Eyes nanim amalecha Shabbos b'mezid lo yachal til matzoy Shabbos. Matzoy Shabbos you may eat it. It doesn't say you need b'chdei she'asu. Rashi adzan you need b'chdei she'asu. Rashi bayos an tezvav v'menalef lo yachal b'chdei she'asu. You have to wait b'chdei she'asu. That's Rashi l'shitasa. But Tosfos tainus against Rashi. It doesn't say here that you need b'chdei she'asu. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and they hold that the din of b'chdei she'asu only applies if a Nochri does Malacha b'Shvil Yisrael, then you have to wait b'Chdei Shias. If a Jew does Malacha b'Shabbos, b'Chlal there's no din of b'Chdei Shias. There's no such concept not to get Hanof and Malacha Shabbos. B'Chdei Shias was introduced in order to be Mechazik, the Gzeira de Rabbanon of Amir Liakum. The Tanoim knew that this Gzeira is not going to be too mazaldik. They knew that the Jews throughout all the generations are going to violate Amir Liakum. The Jews in Europe, everybody had a maid in the house, and all the maids went Mechal Shabbos up and down. Today in America, a lot of Jews, a lot of wealthy Jews have maids in the house, Goyish maids, and they're all Mechal Shabbos. They do the laundry on Shabbos, they do the turn on the water, they do everything. From top to bottom, they do everything. The Tanoim who made the Gzera knew that this is not going to work. The Jews are going to find loopholes, and even without the loopholes, they're just going to violate this. So they wanted to be Mechazik, the Sisa of Amir Liakim, so they said, not only is it not permissible to ask the Nochri to do the Melocha, even if the Nochri did the Melocha on his own, the Jew was going to say, he did it on his own, I didn't ask him. So to be Mechazik, they said, even if the Nochri, even if it were true that the Nochri did it on his own, he's still not allowed to get Hanoah from it. Akum Shasam Melocha B'Shul Yisrael, still not allowed to get Hanoah from it. So Tosfos says, that's only Akum Shasam Melocha B'Shul Yisrael. They wanted to be Mechazik, the Yisr, if Amir Liakim, because he knew it's not going to be too mazaldik. The Jews are always going to violate that Issa, so they want it to be mechazik. But if a Jew is going to do malacha b'Shabbos, what? They have to be mechazik the Issa chilul Shabbos? It's a milsa de la shchicha that a Jew should be mechal Shabbos. But yes, we live in a generation, unfortunately, it's a milsa de shchicha. Every other Jew is a non-shem Shabbos. But Tosfos, from the perspective of the Tanaim, Tosfos says, that's a milsa de la shchicha. What, they're going to make a gzeira that if a Jew does a malacha b'shvil another Jew, you're not allowed to get Hanoah in order to prevent you from asking a Jew to do malacha b'shabbos. Who's going to listen? The other Jew is going to listen to me. I'm going to ask him to do a malacha. Everyone is shomer Shabbos. They had no reformed Jews. All the Jews were, either they were observant or they weren't Jews. There was no such thing as a Jewish person is not observed. So Tosfos denies the need for b'chdei she'asa when a Nochri does malacha. And Rashi, Tosfos denies b'chdei she'asa when a Jew does malacha. Only b'chdei she'asa only applies when a Nochri does malacha, because it's not like Rashi says, k'dei not to be nene for malacha Shabbos, it's rather to be mechazik the Yisr of Amir Eliyahu. In Mishnah Berurah there's a stira in Chela Gimel. It's not a stira from one place to the other. They're both in Chela Gimel. So this stira in the Mishnah Berurah, whether b'chdei she'asa applies when a Jew does malacha or not, this machlek is Rashi and Tosfos, how we should pass him. So this is the example that's quoted in the official biography of the Chafetz Chaim that was written by his son, one of his sons, that's included in the three volumes of the Kol Kisvei HaChafetz Chaim. So they have, this was not written by the Chafetz Chaim, this is written by his son, a biography of him. So the son writes that the different parts of the Mishnah Berurah were written by different members of the family, different Talmidim, and he said, that's why my brother-in-law wrote that, and my uncle wrote that, and that's why there's a stira, they're both in Chela Gimel, that's why there's a stira there. He says his father, the Chafetz Chaim, is just a general editor, general overseer. But he says he didn't write all the psalm. So he gives this mashal that there's a stira minei ben chela gimel in Mishnah Berurah. There are other stiras between different chalokim of Mishnah Berurah, but this is mamish in the same chelek. He says the different parts of Hilchos Shabbos were written by, there was a whole team of people, and they were all writing, and each one wrote his own hachra. I don't think he writes how the Chofetz Chaim. No. Yeah, here, what are we discussing the whole time over here? Ashechet b'Shabbos, over Yom Kippurim, Shchitos Ekshev, are you allowed to eat it on that day? So Rab says, not eat it on that day, and it's a discussion, is it because of Muktzah? The Gemara comes to the conclusion, not because of Muktzah, it's rather because of Hamavashal b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to get Hanoch HaMelecha Shabbos. What do you mean over here? He just did the Shechita, he's going to eat the raw meat. That's what it means. He's not allowed to cook it on Shabbos. He's going to eat the raw meat. How can he eat raw meat? You have to salt it in order to remove the dam. So that's what Tosis points out on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Tosis respect Akasha, but you have to salt it. You're not allowed to eat dam. You're not allowed to eat dam. So Tosis says, maybe Hocham Askinon, Yeshlam Kan Shavar Amolcha. Tosis says, you're not allowed to salt flesh on Shabbos. What's the Yisr? What's the malach involved if they salt flesh? The Gemara says it's the din is al kol minchos chatakriv melach. There's a din whenever you bring a korban mincha, or for that matter any other korban in the Beis Hamikdash, you always have to put salt on. So the Gemara says even on Shabbos when you burn the emurim of the korban oiloi, you're not allowed to bring other korbanos on Shabbos, only zman kavua. When you bring the oilas atamin and the oilas hamusafim, shnei kvasim and shana tamimim, for oilas hamusafim, you burn the emurim, even though you can really wait till matzoi Shabbos to burn the emurim, but the Gemara says chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, you're permitted to burn the emurim on Shabbos. It's deicha Shabbos, even though there wasn't really such a great need, even though you could have waited till matzoi Shabbos. So the Gemara says in Zvachim, timlach afila b'Shabbos. Even though there should have been an Issa Malacha, but still, since it's a korban shezmano kavu and the shechita is muta b'Shabbos, he allowed a sultan on Shabbos as well. So it would appear from the Gemara that there's a chiddush over there. So it seems that it sounds from the Gemara as if there's a malacha deraisa involved. What's the malacha deraisa involved in salting? The pashtus is we usually assume that salting food is a malacha derabbana, maliach kereseach, it's bishul mederabbana. Let's say I'm going to pickle a cucumber. So I have salt water and I put it I put the cucumbers in the salt water and it has an effect on the cucumbers. So bishul is a malacha deraisa if you do real bishul, if you do kabush, if you do maliach, you salt some flesh and you make it more roi lachila. So that's maliach kereseach is a malacha mederabbana. But that's not a malacha deraisa. So why did the Gemara need a pasuk al kol kaban minchoscha b'melach timlach afilu b'Shabbos? That's the Gemara Zvachma, I think, daf Yutes. Timlach afilu b'Shabbos. So the Rishonim asked, the whole Issa Malicha b'Shabbos is only with the Rabbanan. How can you have a drasha from a pasuk to tell you that it's mutter to violate an Issa the Rabbanan? So they say, ein malicha ba'oichlin. If it's Aymer Lachil Asadim, then there's no Issa Malicha, but the Korbanos, no one's going to eat it. This is a Murim that you burn on the Mizbech. So it could be that that's a Malach of Ma'abed. Could be it's a Malach of Ma'abed. Tikkun Mona applies to Eichelim Midir Rabbanon. Tikkun Mona applies to Eichelim Midir Rabbanon. But if you're Mafresh Trumas and Maisus, before it was Tevel, now it becomes Mutta. So that's Misakan Mona Midir Rabbanon. But there's no Misakan Mona Midir Torah. So here Tosfos is talking about salting flesh in order to eat it. So salt flesh in order to eat it, that's only an Issa Derabbanan. But still, that's what they're asking. How can he can eat the flesh the way it is? It's full of blood. It's full of blood. So he has to salt it, so you're not allowed to salt it on Shabbos. They mean it's an Issa Derabbanan. The Gemara says it's not an Issa Deraisa. Sometimes it may be an Issa Deraisa. If you ma'abed is a malocha, if you take hide and you salt it and you treat it, and by salting the hide you convert it into parchment, you convert it into something else, that's a malach of ma'abed. Or some of the Rishonim say to answer that kasha, why do you need a pasuk timlach afilu b'Shabbos? Mishlam Melech quotes this from the Shita Mukubetzes that timlach afilu b'Shabbos, you need a pasuk because since it's not oimed l'achila, you're not going to eat the emunim, you're going to burn it on the mizbech, so then it would be a malach of deraisa. But whether it's melacha deraisa, melacha derabbanan, bottom line, you're not allowed to salt flesh. If you have a piece of meat and you want to eat it and it doesn't have enough salt, so you throw a little salt, that's not a melacha. It's not a melacha deraisa. It's not a melacha derabbanan. You're not changing, you're not causing any change, you're not affecting any change in it. But if you're going to salt the flesh too, you're going to succeed in removing the dam, to salt it for half an hour. So that's at least an Issa D'Rabbanan. At least an Issa D'Rabbanan. So that's what Taisa says. What is the whole discussion over here? So first Taisa suggests, V'yishlam kan shavra malcha. Not only did he make a mistake and he shechted it on Shabbos, he forgot that he salted it on Shabbos also. Then he gave inami b'loy malicha. The second answer, that's till the end of that thesis. And you dial it off, and that's in Chavrai Lameimer. That thesis develops the whole idea, and that's what's accepted la'locha in Shulchan Aruch, that dam ha'ivorim shelo pirish is mutter. There's no issa. The dam in the capillaries only become osu is an issa deraisa. Dam ha'ivorim is an issa deraisa. There's no chorus. Chorus is only on the dam in the lave, or the dam in the arteries. But the dam shan sham yotzba, when you shech the animal, so the dam that comes out then, so that's an isa koris. But dam the yevorim is an isa deraisa without any koris. So that isa deraisa is only if I take a piece of raw meat and I squeeze out the dam and I drink it like that. But if I eat a piece of meat, I wash off all of the dam on the surface. The dam on the surface is dam shepirish. If I wash off all the dam on the surface, then I take a little piece of meat. If I'm going to take a piece of raw meat and cut it, so then the kvetching with the knife is going to make dam on the surface. So I already cut it into a piece of meat that's small enough to put into my mouth. And then I rinse off all the small pieces. Then I put it in my mouth, I start chewing it. When I start chewing it, so then dam is going to be pirish. Then it's already in my mouth. So the dam evarim shalo pirish, by the time I put it in my mouth, the dam is not pirish yet. So that's called moel habosa. That's considered the juice of the flesh. So that is not osa. It's only osa when it becomes pirish. Then pirish mimakam lamakam. Also, strictly speaking, dam should pirish. Let's say I have a piece of meat and I have dam, and I know that the dam moved from one spot to the other, but it never left the chaticha. It went from one spot to the other, but it never went out of the chaticha and went back in. So Tosis points out that pirish mitzadze letzadze is eino osa chiyifresh lachutz. That's how the Mechaber paskens. There's a Ramah, is machmer on that, but that's how the Mechaber paskens, the way it says in Tosfos. Dami Varam Shepirish is only Pirish Lachutz. But if it's Pirish, Mimakam, Lamakam, is his name, that's not called Dam Shepirish. The Shaila was, the Sviri Yesh has a tshuva. I would have thought like the Shoyal. So the Sviri Yesh says that I'm wrong. They didn't ask me the Shaila. I would have said that this idea, Dam, Evaram Shalom Pirish, this is dam in the capillaries and a piece of flesh. What about dam in the liver? The liver is kula dam. So maybe Tosis has later on like that the liver is kula dam, and therefore there's slightly different halachas over there. So one might have argued the point and said that you're not allowed to eat a raw liver because that's not called moel habasar. The whole thing is considered dam. The whole thing is dam. So the Sviri Yesh has a tshuva. He says not so. He says even a raw piece of liver, if anyone has a geschmack for a raw piece of liver, who's interested in eating a raw piece of meat? But that's what the Gemara said. That's what Tosfos is talking about. If you want to eat a raw piece of meat, you want to even eat the raw piece of liver. So strictly speaking, dam ayvarim shelo pirish is considered moel habosar, and there's no isa. The same thing dam shebishloi. The Gemara has a machlokes and menachas. What's the din dam shebishloi? And it's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. How we pasken Rashi later holds that dam shebishloi is the araisa, and we don't pasken like that. Rashi, there are more paskens that dam shebishloi is only the rabbanim. Shita samachaber is questionable. There's a big machlokes in Achrayim. What does the machaber hold? For Sfardim, it's nagel halacha, but Ashkenazim pasken like the Ramah that dam shebishloi is only the rabbanim. Why is dam shebishloi only the rabbanim? So also, we declare that once you cook the dam, it's called moyal abosa. It's considered like basar. It's not considered because the juice also. Let's say you salt the flesh. You only have to leave the salt on the flesh. Kedei tzliya. So the Rishonim quote from the Halachas Gedolos is kedei hiluch mil. The amount of time that it would take to walk an average person to walk a mil. Not a guy who's 7 feet tall and he has very long legs, and not a midget that takes him 2 steps. Very normal adult to take 1 step. A normal size, a normal height adult is going to walk a mil. Mil is alpayim ama. How long would it take? So that's what the Mishnah Berurah always says, that kedei hiluch mil is 18 minutes. And others disagree. Leo Levi has a whole essay in his book on Zmanei Hayom Ba'alocha. He says that it's a mistake, that the Rishonim said 18 minutes had a different kind of clock. They didn't have the system that we have. It's really the correct sheet. It really is 22 and a half minutes. and the other says 24 minutes. So we usually salt the flesh an hour or half an hour, something like that. Shouldn't only salt it for 18 minutes because it's questionable whether the 18 minutes is right. 18 minutes shmura matzah, okay. The shorter the amount of time, so the more mahudr it is. The Gemara says, kedei hilachma, if you mix flour with water and you knead it and you leave it like that, so if you leave it up until mill, nothing happens. So if you only leave it 18 minutes, gevaldik. If you leave it more than 18 minutes, also nothing is going to happen. It's not going to turn into a chometz in 19 minutes, 20 minutes. The Gemara says, less than shear mill, for sure nothing happened. And then it'll take a while till it's going to develop. So there, the 18 minutes is a chumrah, that you know you want to have dafke 18-minute matzahs. And here, 18 minutes would be a kula by the salting of the meat. So let's say you salted your meat for a half an hour, and then you rinse off all the salt. You really think that the salt accomplished to remove every speck of blood in the chaticha bosa? There's certainly going to be a lot of blood left behind. The answer is, whatever blood is left behind, after the shear melicha, after the shear mill, we declare as mayal abosa. And even if it's a big piece of meat the size of this table, gigantic. It's 3 feet by 4 feet by 5 feet. A big, gigantic whole animal. And you salt it on all four sides. And the salt doesn't have an effect on the middle part. Nonetheless, that's the halacha. That whatever size piece of meat you have, and you salted it the way you're supposed to salt it. So if there's dam left behind, so that's considered moel abosam, because it's not the dam in the arteries, it's dam in the capillaries. So to begin with, the dam evarim shelo pirish is mutter, and then when you salt it, so whatever's left behind is declared as moel abos. So you're allowed to eat it. Anyway, so this is a famous tesis. Tesis has a lot of rayas. The dam evarim shelo pirish is mutter, and then tesis, since only pirish lachutz, pirish makom makom ibifnim, is also not. That's not called dam shepirish. Then the Gemara towards the bottom of Tezvavim and Aleph tells the story. There was a Tana who was learning by Rav. A Tana means a Talmud in the yeshiva who sits and recites brises or sits and recites Mishnayos. So he's called the Tana. So the Tana recites a brise that says Lehokil, like Reb Meir. And Rav got very angry, and Shaske Rav. Rav told him he shouldn't say that. Umashtik le Rav. Tani Tanak Hamede Rav, one of the students recited this Braisa, a Mishnah, Mishnah Trumas. Umashtik le Rav. Rav told him he shouldn't say that. So Gemara wants to know, what did he get so upset about? I mean, Rav holds the din is like Lahachmeh, din is like Rav Yudah, and he got angry why someone said a Mishnah that says like Rav Meir. So you have a right to say a Braisa like Rav Meir. Then the Gemara says, and furthermore, Rav himself paskens like Rav Meir for the Talmidim. He was only Machmeh for the Balabatim like Rav Yudah. But what did he get so angry? What are you going to say? The Gemara says, maybe the student recited this Mishnah when Rav was giving the public shiur. So Rav was afraid that the Balabatim are going to hear the Talmud say over the Mishnah, and the Mishnah goes like Rav Meir, Lehokel, so they're going to think that they can be Mekel. So that's why Rav got angry. So the Gemara says, it doesn't make any sense. The students are not going to listen to what the Tana says. They're going to listen to what the Amora says. It's a funny lashon in the Gemara. What do you mean? They're not going to listen to the Tana. Means a student who recites Mishnayos is a Tana. He's a bacher, so they're not going to care what he says. The Amora is the official, the one who's appointed officially to repeat the shiur in public. So Rav is going to give a shiur. Rav is the Rosh Hashiva is going to give a shiur, and he has an Amora who's going to repeat the shiur for him in public. So the Balabatim are going to hear from the Amora what Rav said. They're not going to follow what this bacher is going to recite. Gemara says, no, the Mishnah that the Talmud recited didn't say the way it says by us in the Mishnah and Trumas. We have the text in the Mishnah and Trumas, Hamavashal B'Shabbos, B'Shag Yechav B'Mezer Loyach, like Reb Meir. The student was reciting a different version of the Mishnah that it said, Hashechet B'Shabbos, B'Shag Yechav B'Mezer Loyach, Hashechet B'Shabbos, and that's what the Gemara says, that can't be. Hamavashal b'Shabbos, you cooked the food was not muktzah because it's raw locus. Any food, even if it doesn't taste good when it's raw, but some person might be interested in chewing it, When it's Roy Locus Rashi on the bottom of the daf, Rashi says, second line from the bottom, Kolachidush Lekadaki Kori Koses. Whenever you chew some food that's not normal to eat, Akoses is Achita, Akoses is Apilpulim, Yamaki Purim. You're chewing something, you're eating something that's not normal to eat. So if you have raw food that's not Mavushal, it's Roy Locus. So that's why you can't say that it's Muktzeh. It's edible the way it is. It's Omelachilos Odom, so it's Machalodom. But a live animal is, you can't shecht it on Shabbos, and it's not Roy Locus, you can't eat it. So that's why the Gemara thought that's why Rav was Mashtik, the Talmud, that it doesn't make sense. It should be Muktzeh L'choladeis. It should be Muktzeh in such a case. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute. But we just said in the beginning, we were discussing the topic of Muktzeh. The first three suggestions were that the reason why Rav said it's also Bo Bayom on Shabbos is because of Muktzeh. And we said that's only Alibi the Rabbi Yudah, Alibi the Rabbi Meir, Alibi the Rabbi Shimon. It wouldn't be Muktzeh. How can anybody say it's not Muktzeh, but it's not Chozi Lokus, and you can't shecht it on Shabbos? Everyone should agree that it should be Muktzeh. Gemara says, no, the only time we said before that it wouldn't be Muktzeh is Kigon, the top line of Tezvav and Meg, that there was a Chola Mesukon, so you're allowed a Shecht for the Chola. So, Betchilos HaShabbos, you have a live animal and you have a Chola Mesukon, so it is called an Oichel, because it is Mutter to Shecht it on Shabbos. Gemara Kasha, wait a minute. So, the fourth Pshat that we gave was, which Rabbi Yudah was it? It's not Rabbi Yudah versus Rabbi Shimon by Muktzeh, it's rather Rabbi Yudah versus Rabbi Meir by Mevashel B'Shabbos. That Rabbi Yudah is Machmer Bein Meshoigig Bein Mezid, Kontzu Shogot Mezid, and Rabbi Meir is Mekel B'Shoigig, Lo Kontzu Shogot Mezid. Frag the Gemara, but if you tell me that it's talking about a case, Ish L'chol B'Tof Beso, so it's Heta Gomer to Shecht, so why is there any penalty at all? There shouldn't be any penalty. It's Mutter Lishchot B'Shabbos if you have a Chola. So, what are you talking about? About knas and for the Gemara, the choyla was hivri, and for the Gemara, Kigon Shoyla choyla hivri. So since b'tein hashmashes b'tchilas hayoyim of Shabbos, there was a choyla mesukan. So we thought that we may have to shecht for him on Shabbos. There's a Gemara shecht and choyla b'Shabbos. You're allowed to shecht for a choyla on Shabbos rather than to ask a goy to shecht. You're allowed to shecht yourself. That's the whole discussion. All the Rishonim have the end of Maseches Yuma. Why? Whenever you have to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh purposes, so we always say, Machil Mosa HaKala Kal Tchile, try to violate as smaller an Aveira as possible. So if you'll ask a Goy to Shecht on Shabbos, so the Jew will be eating the Vela. The Cholam Mesukan will be eating the Vela. If a Jew will Shecht on Shabbos, so the Jew Shechts will be in violation of an Issa Koris, an Issa Misa. Then the Vela is only an Issa Lav. So if you have a toss up, either for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, somebody has to violate something. Either I'm going to violate an Iser Melecha Shabbos, which is Kores with Mises Bezen, or he's going to violate Iser Lav of Nevela. So isn't it preferable only to violate the Iser Lav? Why does it say in the Gemara, Shecht Nelechoyle B'Shabbos, you're allowed to Shecht the Behemah on Shabbos? Wouldn't it be better to ask the Goy to Shecht the Behemah and feed the Jew Nevela? So all the Rishonim discuss that. The Rosh at the end of Yuma discusses that. All the Rishonim discuss it. But that's the Halacha, Shecht Nelechoyle B'Shabbos. So Gemara says, if there was a chayla mesukan mibod yom and you plan to shecht the behemah on Shabbos, then the behemah was not muktzeh b'tchilas hayom. Then it wouldn't be muktzeh. And then the chayla mesukan was hivri, he got better, and then they went ahead and they shechted it. So that'll be the machlokes hatanaim, Rab Meir and Rab Yudah, whether there would be a penalty or not. But in that case, whether it was a chayla mibod yom, so then the behemah would not be muktzeh. The same thing it says in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say you have an izemel shal milah. You have a knife that's miyucha to perform a bris milah with it. And you're makbid not to use it for any other purposes because it has to be sharp. You don't use it to cut challah, you don't use it to cut wood, or to cut newspapers or anything. You only use it for bris milah purposes. Milah is only derech Shabbos if you have a milah bezmana. But let's say there's no bris scheduled for Shabbos. So the zemel shal milah is kol malach deliyasa. Yeah, we should really discuss that Gemara. We should go back a little bit. We said, the Gemara said over here, the Gemara said, on the bottom of Yudalanam and Beis, maybe Rabbi Yud only holds from Mukta Machmas Miyus, who says that he holds from Mukta Machmas Isur, and Hashem Slay Rabbi Yud and Mukta Machmas Miyus, because Mukta Machmas Miyus, the Goyim also going to throw it in the garbage. No one holds that it's called a Kli. But muktzamach masisa, that's only for the Jews. In common sense term, the live animal is still Michael Adam. And if you have a kli, which you're not allowed to, let's say the nair, which holds the shemen, a Jew is not allowed to handle it on Shabbos because Dov Shein Miskaven is also, according to Rabbi Yudit, we pass on Dov Shein Miskaven is mutter. But Rabbi Yudit holds Dov Shein Miskaven is also, so you're not allowed to handle it on Shabbos because you may cause kibui. May or may not cause kibui. So that's a kli, which you're not allowed to use. So just like if you have an oichel, which you can't get to eat, so it's called muktzamach masiser. So if you have a kli, which you're not allowed to use, it's called muktzamach masiser on the kli. Oichel mekelim are the same thing. If it's an isa to use it, then it's muktzamach masiser. So then Gemara said you can't really prove it from Rabbi Yudishita, maybe shiny hasam the dache biyadai. You can't prove it, but that's what our sugya says. You can't prove it. But the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos says that this is a machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda, Reb Shimon, regarding muktzamach masisa. The Gemara there has about the shofar on the chatzotzra, that you're not allowed to blow musical instruments, you're not allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the shofar on the chatzotzra are kelim. So do we label them as a klisha malachta le'iser? So you're not allowed to handle it unless l'tzarch gufa l'tzarch mekaymar. Or they say, no, it's a muktzah machmasi, so you can't even handle it l'tzarch gufa l'tzarch mekaymar. If it's muktzah, even l'tzarch gufa l'tzarch mekaymar, you're not allowed to move. Let's say money, a junk, a garbage, is muktzah machmas gufay. It's ma'bana v'yofar. Whatever is not order mekayla mochama mashkim, is muktzah machmas gufay, so you can't even move it l'tzarch gufa l'tzarch mekaymar. Let's say someone left money on a table, and you want to remove it from the table, you want to serve a meal, so you're not allowed to take it biadayim, because that's muktzamach mezgufay. Muktzamach mezgufay is also even l'tzarch gufay l'tzarch mekayim. So the Gemara has two different concepts. There's muktzah, and there's klisha malach d'liyisa. So where is there a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon by muktzamach mezgufay? Everyone should agree. Muktzah, a klisha malach d'liyisa, is also the taltel, but the tzarkufa l'tzarch mekayim is mutter. So what's the machloek is by muktzamach mesisa, by oichlim and by kelim. What do you mean by kelim? By kelim it's klisha malach d'liyisir. It is mutter l'taltel l'tzarkufa l'tzarch mekayim. So where is there a machloek is that according to Reb Yude, the Gemara says there is a din, not only klisha malach d'liyisir, there's a din of muktzamach mesisa. So the Gemara says sometimes it'll be klisha malach d'liyisir, and it'll be mutter l'tatel l'tzarch gufa l'tzarch mekaymai, and sometimes it'll be muktzamach mesis, and the kli will be a muktzamach mesis, and he won't even be allowed to move it l'tzarch gufa l'tzarch mekaymai. So the Gemara has three different braises. This is the Gemara on Lamed Hei Amid Bei, is going over in Masech Shabbos in Perek Lamed Likin. Lamed Hei Amid Bei is going over to Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. So the Gemara says there are three braises. One brisa says, "Ema taltam lois ha-shofar v'lois ha-chatzotzer." The other brisa says, "Shofar mitaltel, chatzotzer ena mitaltelin." Then there's a third brisa that contradicts both of the first two. "Kishem she-mitaltam as ha-shofar, kach mitaltam as ha-chatzotzer." One brisa says they're both muktzah. One brisa says neither is muktzah. One brisa splits and distinguishes between shofar and chatzotzer, whether you're allowed to handle it or not. That's a three-way contradiction. Gemara says loy kasha. That's on Lamed Vav and Aleph and Masechus Shabbos. Loy kasha. One is Reb Yehuda, one is Reb Shimon, one is Reb Nechemya. So who said what? What's Reb Yehuda? What's Reb Shimon? Who's Reb Nechemya? Where did he come from? So Reb Nechemya, the Gemara has later, and the simple pshat is Reb Nechemya is the biggest machmir. That's the poshut pshat. And the Rabbi Natan and the Seifa Yosher drays everything backwards, and he says no, Reb Nechemya is the biggest mekel. But the simple pshat, the Gemara, Reb Nechemya is the biggest machmir. He says, "Afilu talis, afilu tarvud, even a jacket and even a spoon on a table, you're only allowed to handle it l'sarach tashmisha hamiyuchad loy." He says later on in the Masechta, Reb Nechemi says, if you have a challah knife that's miyuchad to cutting challah, and someone delivered a box of cookies, and the box of cookies is tied with a very tough cord, a very tough rope, and you're going to use your challah knife to cut it, the challah knife may get a little bit ruined. by cutting this thick cord. Challah knife is miyuchad for cutting challah, cutting something that's soft. And over here, it may ruin a little bit the sharpness of the knife. Rav Nachman says you're not allowed to use a challah knife. A challah knife is a klish malach de lahette. A klish malach de lahette is muta l'tzarek gufa. Everybody agrees. So he says not allowed to afilu talas, afilu tarvud, any kli, any talam el tzarek tashmishan hamiyuchad lahem belvad. You're not allowed to use it. So the Pashto says that he's the biggest machmer. So here we're talking about a shofar and a chatzotzer. So the normal hishtamshus of a shofar and a chatzotzer is to blow. So he says, you're not allowed to, Rav Nechemia's machmer, you're not allowed to handle either a shofar or a chatzotzer on Shabbat. What are you going to handle it for? He wants to take the shofar to draw some water. He wants to take the chatzotzer or a chatzotzer. He can't draw water in it because the shofar has a twist. So he can draw water and you can hold it as a base kibble. And you can drink in the shofar. The chatzotzer is straight. So it can't hold any water. So what's he going to use the chatzotzer for? To hold the place in the Gemara, to scratch his back or something. So whatever he's going to use it for, that's not tashmisha hamiyuchad loy. So Nehemiah sounds like he's the biggest machmer, and he's the one who says, you're not allowed to handle loyas ha-shefer v'loyas ha-chatzotzer. Ein metalfelim loyas ha-shefer v'loyas ha-chatzotzer. And the other two braises, that one says, one brice is mekel, the other brice is splits. Shofar mitaltal, the chatzaitzer ain't a mitaltal. Why? The shofar is roiv malach de leiser, or miut malach de leheta. Roiv of the hishtamshes of the shofar, is to blow like a musical instrument. And miut malach is to draw water, to use it as a cup. Chatzaitzer is called malach de leiser. So the Gemara sounds like it says the Braisa that says shofar mitaltal v'chatzotzvus ena mitaltalim. That's Rav Yudin. That's Rav Yudin. If it's called malach deli iser like a chatzotzro, then Rav Yudin says that it's mukta machmas iser. If it's a shofar roiv malach deli iser mir malach deli heter, then Rav Yudin says it's only a klisha malach deli iser. It only becomes a mukta machmas iser. The Gemara says Rav Yudah does hold for mukta machmas iser. Our Gemara said when you can ding zechin, can say it's only when dachi be'adayim, like ner shehidlika bo'bos Shabbos, he was dachi be'adayim. But the truth of the matter is that that's not true. This is a tchia, our Gemara says. They could have stuck with the third pshat, that is Rav Yudah by mukta, because this tchia on the top of Tezvav and Aleph is not accurate. When you learn this Gemara, lamed heim at base and lamed vav and Aleph, it says beferish that's machlekes Abiyudah Reb Shimon, but the muktze machmas iser by kelim and by yochlim even lo dachi biyadayim. But I don't know why our Gemara was matchen. They left it like that. They gave the fourth pshat that it's rebuted by mevashel b'shamas. So what did the Gemara say here? The pasha b'shat. So the Gemara says har Reb Shimon, har Abiyudah, har Reb Nechemiah. That the biggest machmer is Reb Nechemiah. He says ein metaltalim lo yisach shofar v'lo yisach hatzotzer. You're not allowed to handle any kli shemalach de leheter, only l'sach tashmusha hamyuchad lo, only for the normal hishtamshes. What's the guy going to handle a shofar the chatzotzer for? He's not going to blow like a musical instrument. On Shabbos you're not allowed. He's going to use it for some other to scratch his back or to draw water or to hold the place. That's not tashmusha hamyuchad lo, so you're not allowed to. And then the two brises. One Bryce says you're allowed to handle both. The other Bryce says you're allowed to handle the shofar and not the chatzotzra. Means you're allowed to handle both. Letzor gufa, letzor mekoyma. So that's according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon doesn't hold from the din of mukta machmas iser, but he does hold from the din of klisha malach deli iser. So both the shofar and the chatzotzra are the same thing. They're both a klisha malach deli iser. They're both metaltalim, means letzor gufa, letzor mekoyma. And Rabbi Yudah splits between the two. He says, Shofar mitaltel, the chatzotzer ain't a mitaltel. Why? Shofar mitaltel, because it's roiv malach deliis and miyat malach deliheta. Sometimes, since a shofar has a base kibble, sometimes you hold the water in it. So that's only a klisha malach deliis. But chatzotzer, where it's called malach deliis, there Rabbi Yudah holds that that's mukta machmas iser. That's how most of the Rishonim learn pshat in Gemara. Nechemiah is the biggest machmer. The difficulty with that pshat is, this is a question whether this is a difficulty. There were three brises, A, B, C, and the Gemara says it's a three-way stira. Gemara says, the Torah says, Harab Yudah, Harab Shimon, Harab Nechemiah. So they said the name of Rab Nechemiah last, and the brisa that said the biggest chumah was the first brisa. Shema Talton, Lo Yisach Shofar, Lo Yisach Hatzotzer. So whenever you have a stira between two brises or three brises, and the teretz is, this is one time, this is another time, and when you give the teretz, are you necessarily giving the teretz in the order of the presentation of the stiras, or not necessarily? So we had it when we learned Maseches Nida. The Gemara had a shaila, is it better for the woman to do the hafifa mibod yom, and she should be tavelas balayla, or is it because mitachshin mahumala basev, she's going to do the hafifa balayla, she's in a rush. Do the hafifa b'yam, she can't go to mikveh anyway. Do the hafifa b'yam, tachshem mahum b'beisah, she won't do a good job. Or should you say no? On the other hand, she'll do the hafifa b'yam. A chatzitza may develop until it's going to come nighttime. Maybe it's preferable to do the hafifa samach letfila. So the Gemara had a steer between the two brises. So the Gemara said, one case is talking when it's yantav shecholiyas b'motzoi Shabbos, and one yantav shecholiyas b'chol. So which does that go in the order of the two answers that the Gemara, that goes in the order of the two brises or not necessarily? So that was the machlekes Rashi and the Shiltas, and that Gemara in the end of Masechus Nida. So that's what the machlekes Rishonim over here is. So the Rabbeinu Tam was bothered with that kash. And it points out other Rishonim are not bothered. I don't think we would be bothered. We would usually not be bothered. The Gemara says there are three brises. One is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, one is Rabbi Chema. So you have to figure out on your own which is which. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's in the correct order. So Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yashar, a little bit is quoted in Tosfos, most of it is not. Rabbeinu Tam is in the Sefer Yashar, held that the three have to go in order. So the Horeb Nechemi is mentioned last, so that corresponds to the third brisa. Yeah, but the third brisa says, Kishem Shematatam Asoshef Kach Mentatam Asachatzaitzvas. That's the biggest kula. So Rabbeinu Tam says, that's right. Rabbeinu Nechemi is the biggest makel from all the Tanoim. Adi Gemara says, Afilu Talas, Afilu Tarvut. You're not allowed to take a challah knife, which is a klish malach de leheter, to cut a cord. So Rabbeinu Tam says, like the Balamor says later on, no, that's a different thing. If you're going to take a challah knife and cut a cord, you may ruin the knife a little bit. That's Rabbi Nechemia's machma. But Rabbi Nechemia is basically the biggest makel of all. Even kol malach de leiser, if you want to use the kli for some other hishtamshus, all the kelim amutah letzarch gufa letzarch mekayim, as long as you're not being poigim the kli, as long as you're not ruining it. So Rabbi Nechemia is the biggest makel. And the other two brises, Harab Shimon, Harab Yudah, that we know Rabbi Yudah is more machman than Rabbi Shimon, but because the Rabbeinu Tam shifted everything, so he has a whole different seder hadvarim. So he says like this: if the first brise was Eimatal from Loyas Hashayfer, Veloyas Achatzaitzra, so the Gemara says Harab Yudah. Rabbi Yudah says like that. Not Rabbi Nechemia. We learned originally that first brisa is Rabbi Nechemia. He's not allowed to be metatel shofar chatzitzra because he holds enkli nita letzarch tashmisha hamiyuchad loy. So now Rabbi Natam says not true. The last brisa is Rabbi Nechemia, the biggest makel. He's just not allowed to be metatel a kli to be poigin the kli. To be poigin the kli. Where does the Gemara have Rabbi Nechemia? The Gemara talks on yontif. If you have logs in the house, you're allowed to throw the logs into the furnace. What if I have a wooden chair that functions very well? But I just heard that I just win the Irish sweepstakes and I want to buy new furniture and it's cold in the house on Yontif, so my wife wants to take the old furniture and throw it into the furnace. Would that be mutter? So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Nechemia, you're not allowed to handle a chair to throw it into the furnace to burn it. So the Balamor writes and the Rabbi Natam writes in the Sefer Ayesha, of course not. You have a wooden chair that functions, you're going to destroy it. You're going to throw it into the furnace and Yontif is going to get destroyed. That's Rabbi Nechemia holds that you're not allowed to. But to move a chair in order to climb up on the chair is normally for sitting. Once in a while you want to move a chair in order to climb up to get something on a top shelf, Rabbi Nechemia, would you be machmer on that? You're not allowed to take a challah knife to cut a thick cord because you'll be poigim the knife, it's not going to be as sharp. But to take a challah knife to scratch your back, the Rabbi Nechemia, you would be mekel on that. Rabbi Nechemia is the biggest mekel, not the biggest machmer. So to that part, the Rabbi Natan interprets Rabbi Nechemia is the biggest mekel. And then Rabbi Yudah is more machman than Rabbi Shimon, but the Rabbi Natam reads it. The first brisa that says in Metatan Leis Hashofer Leis Achatzaitzra, Hashofer is Rov Malach Deliyis and Miut Malach Delehet, because the Shofer is twisted, so you can use it as a container. Even though it's only Rov Malach Deliyis, according to Rabbi Yudah, it'll be Mukta Machmasisa, and Achatzaitzra is called Malach Deliyis. So for sure that'll be Mukta Machmasisa. And the second brisa Hor Rabbi Shimon. Shofar mitaltal v'chatzot zeinim taltal. A shofar, Rabbi Shimon holds his only klisha malach deli yisr, because it's rov malach deli yisr. So then Rabbi Shimon holds that's a din of klisha malach deli yisr, you're allowed to handle it, but a chatzot zera, which is kol malach de liyisir, so it becomes muktzah mamish, you're not allowed to handle it at all. That's what Rabbeinu Tam read the braiser. Rabbeinu Tam comes up, the Tosfos in Kira refers to this Rabbeinu Tam just briefly. They don't quote the whole story, what the Rabbeinu Tam said, they refer just in a few lines, and they don't explain it. There's a Tosfos on an Amud Beis where they refer to this Rabbeinu Tam. Here, the bottom Tosfos on Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Tosfos has three lines where they're quoting the Rabbeinu Tam, and that's what he says over there. If you don't look in the Sefer Yosh, you don't know what in the world he's talking about, but that's what it says in the Sefer Yosh. So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch quotes this Rabbeinu Tam, Halacha Lemaisa. He says, when does a Kli have the status of a Kli Shemalach Deliyisar, a screwdriver and a hammer? Is a Kli Shemalach Deliyisar, it's not Muktzah Mamish. You're not allowed to handle it, unless it's Tzor Kufel, Tzor Mekoymai. That's because all year long we use the screwdriver sometimes to pry open a jar of pickles when it's very tight. Or you use the hammer sometimes to crack open a nut. So it's rov malach delis and miut malach delat. What if you have a cliche kol malach delis? You only use it kol malach delis. So then the Ramah quotes, then it's mukta mamish. Even according to Reb Shimon, it's going to be mukta mamish. But then the Ramah fiertois, he ends off, it's mukta mamish, so then you're not allowed to handle it, unless l'tzor kuf l'tzor mukam. So tavega harget the Rabbeinu Tam. He just said not like the Rabbeinu Tam. So that's a problem. So the Nosei Kelim have trouble with this. They don't know how to deal with this. So they quote in the recent Svarim, Rav Moshe Feinstein does not paskin like this Rabbeinu Tam. Rav Moshe says if you have a kli, shekol malach de liyisir, let's say you have a fan. So the fact that the fan is blowing on Shabbos, that's not called hishtamshus of the fan. I just sit in front of the fan. Hishtamshus is when I handle it. So when do you handle the fan to turn it on or to turn it off? So the fan is called malach deliyisa. The only time you ever handle it when it's called malach deliyisa. So Moshe says he holds that a fan is only klisha malach deliyisa, and it's not mukta. So he says you're allowed to move it. So let's say the fan is in the wrong direction. I want it to cool me. I'm sitting in this direction. So he says you're allowed to turn the fan around that it should blow on me over here. Or Moshe talks about an electric blanket. So an electric blanket, the only time you handle it is when you want to push the buttons on it. So it's called malach deliyisir. So Moshe says, we paskin like the final line in the Ramah. Kol malach deliyisir is a klisha malach deliyisir. It's not muktzah mamish. And the quote in some of the Svarim, the Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky said, not so. We should paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramah started off by quoting the Rabbeinu Tam. And then he backs up and he says, mutl tzalkuh tzalkuh kaimah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that the Ramos started off by saying we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. So we should paskin like that. Whenever you have a klisha kol malach deliyisa, then it'll be muktzah mamish.
What would Rav Moshe consider a klisha kol malach
deliyisa? Klisha malach deliyisa. It's mutter letalta letzor kufa letzor mekoyma.
There's no such thing, according to Rav Moshe.
Doesn't have a separate status. Uh-huh. The Rabbeinu Tam got it from the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you have a kli shemalach dele iser and it's muktzah machmas chisar and kis, let's say you have an izemel shel milo or a sakon shel shchita, on Shabbos you're not allowed to shecht with a sakon shel shchita, you're not allowed to do a bris milo, that's a zemila bismana on Shabbos. So since, or you have a computer or you have a typewriter, so it's a precision instrument and you don't want the children to play with it, you know, you don't use it for other hishtamshis and you're afraid it's going to break. So it's called malach delisa. You makbid only to use the called malach delisa. So the Gemara says, if it's a muktzah machmas chisar and kis, then everybody, even Rabbi Shimon, agrees that it's muktzah. So Rabbeinu Tam said, there you have it. Whenever you have a kli called malach delisa, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it's muktzah. So somehow, the Ramon and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, they say no. That's because over there he's makbid, muktzah machmas chisar and kis, he's makbid because it's a precision instrument. He's makbid not to use it for anything else. But over here, let's say the Chatzitzra, it's only kol malach deliyisa. It doesn't have any other hishtam. All year long, you just use it for blowing. You never use it for filling any water, because the water's going to go through and through. It's like a funnel. It's not like a shofar that it twists. So kol malach deliyisa is not muktzah mamish. Only muktzah machmas chisar and kis. And the Rabbin and Tamas Sefer Yoshe says no. Based on that Gemara, you see that Kol Malach Delisir is Muktzah Mamish.
A blanket, they use as a blanket.
I mean, it has the other Hishtamshas.
Yeah, electrical, you use a watch. It's got a battery and everything, and you can manipulate it and change, but no, I've never heard anybody say you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Maybe you can't, I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay. We got to think of that then. I don't know. So that's a shalatzi. You have an izemel shanmila. You have a knife that's meyuchad for brismila. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, there's no bris this Shabbos. So that's a muktz machmas chisar and kis, a sakon shal shchita. So you're not allowed to move it even letzor kufa letzor mekoyma. That's the Gemara. Muktz machmas chisar and kis. Shabbos, what if you do have a bris on Shabbos? So if you have a bris on Shabbos, the pashtus is like the top line on Tezvav and Beis. The only time you say muktz machmasis, you have a live animal, you're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos and not chazi lokus. So everybody should agree that it should be muktz, unless yesh lachoyle mebod yom. So you do plan to shecht. You think he may have to shecht the behema. So then the behema is considered oichel. So the kli is considered kli. If you have food that you can't eat because of an iser, you can't shecht it, then it's not called food, the Gemara says. And if you have a kli that you can't use because it's a malacha, kol malach delisa, it's not called a kli. But if you have a choylem ebod yom, so then you think that you may use it. So then the behemah is called an oichel. So if you have a bris mila bismana, so then the knife is not the mukta. The pashtus is it's not mukta then. So that's a whole machloikis in Shulchan Aruch. When the moil finishes doing the bris mila, so some achrayim say, Kozmani still has the knife in his hand, he can put it wherever he wants. Once he puts it down, he has to leave it, he's not allowed to pick it up anymore because it's muktze. And others say, no, that heter, you can move it around, Kozmani you have in the hand, that's only by klisha malach de liyisa, Tosis says, it doesn't apply to muktze mamish. That's machlekes, the Ramo applies it even to muktze mamish. Let's say by mistake, a person has money in his hand on Erev Shabbos, and he has the money in his hand and into Shabbos, holding it the whole Beinash Mashas. So the Ramo says, you can put it anywhere you want in the house. You can put it anywhere you want. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Vilna Goyen, and the Nesivis disagree. The Aruch HaChaim Siddur, they disagree. The whole that kula is only by Klisha Malach Delisa. It doesn't apply to Mukta Mamash. So some Achrayim hold the second after the bris is done, you have to drop the knife right away. Others say, no, Kozman is still holding it. You can put it wherever you want. After you put it down, then it's finished. Then you're not allowed to pick it up again. And the others say, what are you talking about? So then the behemah is oichel. So if you have an izemel shalmil and you plan to use it on Shabbos, then the kli does have a hishtamsha. So it's not this Shabbos, it's not a muktz machmas chisar and kis. So you're allowed to handle it. It's a kli shemalach delaheta this Shabbos. Why should it be a kli shemalach? Maybe it's a kli shemalach delaheta. But others say, no, it's a kli shemalach delaheta. You plan to use it this Shabbos because mila bizman is decha Shabbos.
For the mile, this is. Only for the mile, this would. Somebody else has no business? Yes.
The pashtus is not, if it's mutter for the moil to handle, it should be mutter for the other people also. It shouldn't be only for the moil. It should be mutter for anybody. Anyway, those are the three opinions by the bris mila, and it's based on this line. Kasha oelach mebod yom, so the Gemara says, if you have a choyle mebod yom, so the behem is called an oichel. So if you have a bris mila bizmano, so the sakin should not be kol malach talis. It shouldn't be considered a muktz machmas chim sarangas. He plans to use it this Shabbos. So it should really be klisha malach
deleheta. So this the light they have on Shabbos, the Shabbos light where they turn the.
They have a shade.
A shade. Yeah.
So they turn around the shade.
You're going to move the light too.
I mean, you may or may not. It's a psikresha that you're going to move the light, or it's a dov sheinu miskaven.
It's a dov sheinu miskaven.
May or may not move the light.
Yeah,
may or may not move the light. Even if you move the light, it's tiltal muktz kalachayat. I'm handling the shade. The shade is a kalisha malach deleheta. That I'm allowed to handle. And then by handling the shade, I cause that the muktz also moves. So that's called tiltal muktz menatza. So that's
not like the fan. Moshe wouldn't count it.
There, Moshe says you're allowed to move the fan mamish.
Yeah,
he holds that a fan is kalisha malach dele iser. And Litzara Gufo, you're allowed to. I mean, over here also, it should be Litzara Gufo. Could be. That Rav Moshe would say Smuta. Could be. I don't know. Okay. But then at it tomorrow, we'll continue.